This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on August 26, 2010. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Before we move to the next item, which is the final rules and explanation justification regarding federal election activity, let's take a very brief recess.
Mr. Chairman, before you do that, I'd like to just say that I really hard fought, a lot of give and take, a lot of things went on the table, went off the table, and went back on the table partially, but not entirely, up until about an hour ago. So I support it, and that record I wanted to make. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's just take like a two-minute recess. The open meeting is back in order. Next item on the agenda are the final rules and explanation and justification for the federal election activity rule. We have a presentation by Mr. David Adkins from the Office of General Counsel, and when you're ready, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon, Commissioners. You have before you agenda document 10-55, draft final rules with accompanying explanation and justification for our rules governing the definition of federal election activity. The agenda document would affect changes to the Commission's definition of voter registration activity and GOTV activity at 11 CFR 100.24A2 and A3, and make other changes at 11 CFR 100.24C. In response to the decision of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit in Shays versus FEC, if the Commission approves the final rules in E&J, the Office of General Counsel seeks authority to make technical and conforming changes to the draft. Thank you, and I'd be happy to address any questions you might have.
Thank you for that presentation. Any discussion on this draft? Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to again thank all of the members of OGC staff, and in particular Rosie Smith, David Adkins, and Amy Rothstein, who wasn't able to be here today, for their hard work on this document. And everybody on our staffs, everybody has worked hard on this for a number of months. And like the coordination rule, we've gone back and forth with different proposals. We took the comments seriously in response to the NPRM, which said that the proposed rule that we put out in the NPRM was overly broad and didn't properly consider what was a persuasive communication and what was get out the vote or voter registration activity. And we tried very hard to come up with something that accommodated the court, but also tried to ensure that the definition wouldn't cover what is not otherwise voter registration activity and is often a persuasive communication. And so we have a fairly broad definition of what is voter registration activity and get out the vote. But we also have an exception in there for brief incidental exhortations. And, for example, I just brought a flyer that I got a few weeks ago about the Adrian Fenty race in the District of Columbia, and it's a two-page, 8.5 by 11 flyer with a lot of information about Adrian Fenty's record, the Washington Post endorsement, comparing his record against his opponent's record, and in one place, on the flyer, it says September 14th, vote for results, vote Fenty. So I think everyone would agree that that would meet the definition of a brief incidental exhortation on what is otherwise a persuasive communication, public communication. So I hope that that we have some success with the court again, and this rule makes it through. And again, while it's not perfect in anybody's eyes, I think it's the best we can do to respond to the court's concerns and to not come up with a standard that is overly broad. Thank you.
Further discussion? Commissioner Weintraub.
I would also like to thank the staff, particularly David and Rosie and Amy, and all the EAs and everyone who worked so hard compiling this document up until about 13 seconds ago. you know, you never know which ones are going to turn out to be the tough ones. Sometimes you think, oh, well, all the action's going to be on the other document and this one will be easy, but that turns out not to be the case. So I again appreciate the fact that we are finally going to get to a final rule on this. I think that the court identified some deficiencies in the last rule, and particularly we have added the urge or encourage standard, which I think should satisfy the court and goes a long way to making this the kind of robust rule that the court expects us to have. So I don't really have a lot more to say other than I will support the draft.
Further comments? Commissioner McGann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Federal election activity is very important, both to both under McCain-Feingold and to those who live under McCain-Feingold. The rule, I can support the proposal that we have before us and intend to do so, but want to explain a little bit about how we got where we are and what it means. If a state or local party conducts certain federal election activity, including such things as get out the vote, voter ID, voter registration, they have to use hard money. So the purpose there that I think Congress was trying to get at was to avoid circumvention of the contribution limits, but they didn't subject any of that to any sort of spending limit. They just imposed the kind of money you can use limit. What hasn't arisen yet is a situation where a local party tries to do some of this activity without the knowledge, input, or support of a federal office holder. So a federal officer doesn't raise any money, doesn't control the spending. It would seem to be Independent Speech and Post Citizens United. I'm sure someone's going to, at some point, come in and make a big deal about all that. But that's not what we're here to do today. We're here to try to pass a rule that defines some terms in the statute. Because when Congress passed this federal election activity section, they didn't define terms like get out the vote and voter ID and voter registration. Perhaps it's because they assumed everyone knew what it meant. They were candidates themselves. They probably still are. Some who voted for it are no longer. But they're terms that those who do campaigns understand. But the problem with the statute is there's also an exception to paraphrase the statute rather inartfully, state candidate persuasion pieces. And we heard from the commenters that that's really the difficult part, and that's really what's taken for me, at least for me, the most time to work through. Because really, you could take the Shays 3 opinion, read it, look at the reg, and if you just crossed out the words individualize and assist and change assist to encourage, we could probably have the rule done. No one would know what it meant. There wouldn't have been an explanation and justification, but we probably could have just did that quick fix. But that really wouldn't have helped anyone understand what was really going on, because to me, there isn't that big a difference to what the rule was before to what the statute says. I thought the rule before was okay. Actually, when I read Shays 3, I read the portion they quoted from Mr. Shays' brief, where he describes, within days of a federal election, a state party can send out multiple direct mailings to every potential voter sympathetic to its cause, urging them to vote, and blanket the state with automated telephone calls by celebrities identifying the date of the election. So I read all this, and I wrote in the margin, I thought that's what the individualized means covered. When I read this description, I thought, I kind of thought that's what the rule already covered. But then there was an advisory opinion. The L.A. County Dems came in. And the way the Shays 3 court read it, when you read the opinion, it really does kind of jar you that it seemed like even though there was a federal candidate on the ballot, the commission said that didn't count as FEA. The L.A. County Dems AO was somewhat muddy on the rationale. I think it was a compromise, and the court just was having none of it. So this rule, I supersedes that AO. I thought the AO was correct as to the result, simply because I read the things in L.A. County Dems as state candidate sorts of things. But you know, we have to draw lines, and the court didn't think the FEC had drawn the line at the right point there. Of course, I was in the cheap seats then when that happened. I wasn't at the, but that was when I thought it was so much easier, and I came on down. So we have to confront this, and we have to define terms now that even the commenters had a little bit of trouble defining. Some were a little more clear than others, but really the challenge is to separate terms like get out the vote from state candidate assistance, because of this exception that says if it's a state candidate piece, it's accepted from FEA unless it's FEA. So it's kind of circular because you don't get to the exception unless the material is already federal election activity. Well, Congress must have made they must have put in the exception for a reason. They couldn't have really put it in there just to zero it out. So we had to confront that. And as Commissioner Hunter mentioned, we had this mere exhortation language designed to ensure that state and local parties can continue to do their state and local candidate pieces without converting everything into a hard money world. GOTV, talk about that for a minute, is something that I think those who do politics as a profession know it when they see it. They all say, oh, everyone knows what GOTV is, everyone except for the D.C. Circuit and Federal Election Commission and people who don't do campaigns for a living, because it does get difficult to define. It was a challenge for me, particularly when a court is looking over your shoulder and has already second-guessed other folks who are very knowledgeable to subject matters' efforts to try to define it. I felt like I was trying to define the color orange, and the court's already said that a mixture of red and yellow is an insufficient definition. So, how do we define orange? Get out the vote is what it is. And in Chase 3 itself, I think overread some of the potential loopholes, questioning whether really individualized means was enough. When a party committee does voter registration, of course it's going to be individualized. Parties don't do generic TV ads saying register to vote. They're only going to want to register people that are going to vote for their candidates. Maybe they get it wrong a couple times, but generally, unlike the League of Women Voters, or unlike Rock the Vote, or unlike groups who see it as a civic issue where they want everyone to vote regardless of what party they may choose to associate themselves with or what candidate they may support, parties are not in that game. Parties are in it to win elections, so they're not really driven by this notion of civic duty to register all voters. They're driven by the desire to register voters that will vote for their candidates so they can win elections. So it's a little bit different. There's really two kinds of get out the vote, and of course it's going to be somewhat individualized. What that means, who knows? But that language is gone from the rule. The rule, I think, is simpler, but can arguably go too far because it seems to include things such as merely sending out materials that encourage potential or urging potential voters to vote, which is that's pretty clear, but informing voters of the time when polling places are open, the location of particular polling places, early voting or voting by absentee ballot. This is precisely what nonprofits do, and they do it with soft money, but when party committees do it, they're going to have to do it with hard money. Fortunately, I think this is an academic exercise. We can sit up here all day and sort of come up with hypotheticals. One of the follow-up comments from the Campaign Legal Center took me to task for sort of spending all day coming up with as applied challenges to all the rules. That's and they're right. That's not really what we're supposed to be doing here. But you do need to go through that exercise to test your own thinking. The reality is party committees aren't just going to send out a piece of paper that tells people when polling places are open. They're going to have something else on there like vote Republican. They're going to have something on there that looks like generic get out the vote activity. It's going to be attached to something else that really is going to be get out the vote. So although someone may be alarmed that this rule goes too far, I think as a practical matter, I could be wrong, but I don't think state parties or local parties send out stuff that only says the location of a polling place and that kind of thing. So I can support the rule for those reasons. The mere exhortation is an important concept because we don't want to convert all state candidate advocacy into FEA because I don't think Congress intended to federalize all elections. Certainly, Senator McCain has numerous floor statements, and it is much in the legislative record supports that from his mouth to our ears that was not the intent, and I think we have to honor that, and I think it does it. The other things we're defining, things like voter ID. The statute says that voter ID in connection with election where a federal candidate's on the ballot is FEA. The commission in prior rulemakings defined that to mean voter ID done within a certain time period of the election. Something that I thought was important and some of us thought was important and took a lot of time to get in the rule in a certain way that others could live with was what if you have an intervening state election or a local election like a local mayoral election where there's no federal candidates on the ballot but yet you want to do voter ID for that election. And we have now a new exception in there for that, and I appreciate my colleagues, particularly Commissioner Weintraub, for working with me on that and working with us on that, because I think this is important. I have a list, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Long Beach, California, New Orleans. These are cities that have mayoral elections during the time period. So voter ID that they would do, parties in these cities that would do for the mayoral election would be FEA, absent this exception. even though it's not in connection with the federal election, where a federal officer is on the ballot. Newark, New Jersey, Norfolk, Virginia, Glendale, Arizona, Lubbock, Texas, Newport News, Virginia, the list goes on and on. Wichita Falls, Texas, Burbank, California, all over the country, there's cities that actually have these elections. So that's actually something that I think there was a local party chair, San Diego Republican chair, testified, and that was one of his themes. The reality, though, is a lot of his comments, although one may personally agree with them, the statute says what the statute says. And the reality is, if you're doing things that matter as a state or local party, meaning get out the vote, voter ID, and that kind of thing, near a federal election, it's going to be all hard. That's what Congress decided. We would love to maybe change that in the abstract, but we can't. So we have to, though, recognize that there are things we can do, and I think that does that. Voter registration, this is another area that gets confusing because, again, you're only going to register voters that are going to vote for your candidate. So you could read the voter registration reg and say, oh, my God, this covers way too much. But please take a step back and think about what a party committee actually does when it registers voters. So a party's not going to do a TV ad saying go register to vote. It's not going to do a billboard that says go register to vote. It's going to instead go out and try to target voters that it wants to target, not everyone, only the people that would support it. So with that, the one thing I'm going to add just for the record back to the get out the vote, there was a lot of discussion that we had about what if you have a state candidate piece that says go vote on a certain day. There was a commenter that tried to say there was a difference between vote for Jones for mayor and go vote for Jones for mayor, or what if you put the date of the election and that kind of thing. I went and I have a library of sort of weird books, and one of them is Advertising Wins Elections by a guy named Maurice McCaffrey. This was a fellow from Minnesota who was one of the pioneers of advertising with campaigns. He was one of the first fellows to figure out that TV advertising wasn't just for presidential campaigns. And he did the campaigns of folks like Clark McGregor and a number of other prominent members of Congress from back in that generation. And his book is quite funny. It's from 1962. He has a picture on the back there smoking a pipe. He really looks like a cast of Mad Men. He's kind of that generation. And he actually goes through and criticizes and critiques of billboards, his whole chapter on billboards. And he has one here where a billboard that says, keep your present school board, reelect, and it's got three names, and it has Tuesday, June 12th on the board. And he says, this is a bad poster board. It has a good message, but there are too many names to be grasped at a glimpse. Also, the election date is a space stealer. So although you're certainly going to see state candidate mail that has the election date and that kind of thing, here's somebody in 1962 saying you're wasting your money if you're going to do a billboard talking about the date of the election. So when you read these rules and start thinking about, oh, my God, the sky's falling, it's not. Because as a practical matter, we're covering the things that the Shays 3 court said we need to cover. It's covering the sort of things that are going to benefit, at least in the McCain-Feingold presumptive sense, benefit federal candidates. And that's really the whole shooting match here, is the idea that a federal candidate could benefit from soft money. And that's why this is a hard money requirement. So I think that's important. I just wanted to take some time to put this in the record because someone someday may listen to this and it may matter because it may help with people understanding why we're doing what we're doing. So with that, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the time.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Commissioner McGann, for the shout-out. Commissioner McGann and I were on the phone last night at about midnight. Never do that again.
I was just waking up.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. For me, the most important thing is that we address the court's concerns by broadening the scope with the adding in encouraging or urging assistance by any means is in here. And we covered the kind of mass communications that the courts have clearly been concerned about. Robocalls are covered. Mass mailings are covered. There are some exceptions in here. They are narrowly tailored. The voter ID exception that Commissioner McGann mentioned specifically says, in addition to the fact that it has to be conducted solely in connection with a non-federal election held on a date in which no federal election is held, also it may not be used in a subsequent election in which a federal candidate appears on the ballot. So for those who were concerned that if this kind of activity went on and was paid for with soft money, then it was going to end up being captured later on in the federal election, we built that into the rule that can't happen. So I think that those exceptions make clear that they are really solely dealing with non-federal activity, elections that aren't even on the same day as the federal elections, and are narrowly tailored and appropriately so. So thanks.
Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be happy to support this rule today. And first, I do want to also share my thanks with OGC and all the staff members, but also to Commissioner Hunter and Commissioner Weintraub for taking the lead on this, on these both sets of, on both sets of these rules that we adopted today. I'm sure I express the views of my colleagues as well that we really do appreciate your hard work and don't envy the phone calls at midnight. I think this rule it does a good job of drawing the line so that state and local party committees can't be used to make an end run around BCRA's requirement that those any activities surrounding federal elections have a significant influence on federal elections are paid for with hard money. I think it is responsive to the court's concerns that the old rule had some issues with respect to loopholes and unnecessarily focused on individualized means, and I think this new standard is appropriately drawn to draw those lines. So I'll be happy to support it at the appropriate time.
I think since we're about that at that point, if there's nothing further, do we have a motion? Commissioner Weintraub.
All right, I'll do the motion this time. Mr. Chairman, I gratefully move adoption of agenda document number 10-55 so we can all go home. Direct counsel to arrange for its publication in the Federal Register and, of course, authorize any technical and conforming amendments that may be necessary.
Any discussion on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion passes 5-0. Just to kind of tie up something that Commissioner Weintraub said at the outset, acknowledging the general counsel who, Tommy Duncan, our former, who departed. Mr. Huey, Chris Huey, who is our acting general counsel, congratulations on now you've made it through your first executive session, and now you've made it through your first open meeting. So you picked a couple of interesting ones to start in on.
I didn't pick them, but thank you very much.
That's right. Mr. Palmer, are there any management and administrative matters from the Office of the Staff Director?
Mr. Chairman, there are none.
All right. Meeting is adjourned.